From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the third day of March 2010. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services. He's in Oakland, Illinois. And then later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Matt Blaisdell of the Anderson's Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. In today's agricultural news, U.S. EPA expects not to regulate stationary sources of greenhouse gases for at least 2 years. The United States Department of Agriculture is working with Russia to change how poultry is processed in the United States and on reopening trade between the nations. And it appears the 10% blend rate for ethanol is moving a step closer to a 15% blend rate. Dave Dickey will be along in a moment with these and many more ag news stories. And then we'll hear about the soft red winter wheat market. Daryl Good has some thoughts. And as we close out this Wednesday edition, we'll discuss the agricultural weather forecast with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago on this Wednesday afternoon, the nearby March wheat futures settled at 503.5, up 11.5. The May at 515.75, up 11.25, and July at 528.25 for the soft red, 11.5 cents higher. July in Kansas City, $5.29. The hard red winter wheat up 9.75 on a Wednesday. March contract in the corn pit, $3.75.75, up 5.25. The May at 386.75, 5.25 higher. And July at 397.75, up 5.5 cents. September at 405.75, up 5.75. December futures, $4.13, 6 cents higher. March soybean futures, 954.5, up 0.25. May at 963.5, unchanged. July at 971, up 0.25. The August futures at 966.75, up 1. September at 953.5, up 2.5 cents. The March bean meal, 266.50, down $4. May at 267.30. down $1 even. The March oil at 40.02, up 21 on the day. April live cattle futures, 92.90, 12.5 higher. June at 91.47.5, up 22.5. The March feeders at 102.50, up 12.5 cents. April at 104.75, up 32.5. And April lean hogs at $73.40 finished the day 95 cents higher. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures at $80.87 a barrel, a settlement price up $1.19. March ethanol at $1.66 and a tenth, down a penny and 9 cents. Natural gas at $4.75 and 3 cents, 4 and 5 cents lower. The RBOB at $2.24 and 4 cents, up 4 and 7 cents. And the heating oil or diesel fuel, 3 and 3 cents higher at $2.08 and 9 cents of a cent. Gold futures at $1,142.70 an ounce, finished the day $5.80 higher. That is the settlement price. And the Dow now just about 12 points lower at 10,394. The U.S. dollar at 79.98 is down 0.53, and the CRB index at 277.71 is up 2.58 on the day. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like from our own Mike Sola. He says tonight in Illinois and western Indiana should be clear to partly cloudy. In eastern Indiana, mostly cloudy. Lows this evening, says Mike, from 17 in northwestern Illinois to 27 in the far south. And then tomorrow, mostly sunny skies. Highs will range from 36 in the far north to 48 in the far south. The extended forecast says dry weather will continue through Saturday in Illinois and Indiana. Scattered showers will be possible across the two states on Sunday and Monday. And more widespread rain likely Monday night into Tuesday. A few lingering rain and snow showers will be possible on Wednesday and Thursday, says Mike, of next week. The temperatures will rise to more seasonable levels this weekend into early next week, with somewhat cooler weather to follow later in next week. Looking farther out into the middle of March, Mike Sola says it appears that a tendency towards cooler than average weather will continue. More on the agricultural weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the hour and talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, Hudsonville, Illinois, and Crescent City, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Wednesday afternoon. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. On the line with us is Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois, to take a look at the marketplace. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd.
We don't have many tickets left for our all-day ag outlook. We haven't ever done this in the past. Two things. We haven't done a pre-registration. We've always had it as a walk-in, and pre-registration went really, really well. So it's quite likely we'll have to close off our meeting to others pretty shortly. So we're extending that pre-registration through the time that we sell an extra 30 tickets. And that's happening fairly quickly. We had about 356 or 7 sold by the end of pre-registration. We think we can put about 400 inside the beef house there. With all the folks, including you, we'll be pushing that when we put an extra 30 tickets. So the folks that want to do that should give us a call, should visit willag.org, and I will give you the phone number for the 800 number to make that phone call a bit later. Let's talk now, Paul Cooley, about what's happening in the marketplace. There was a whole bunch more green in the market today than maybe some thought might come to fruition on a Wednesday.
Yeah. Todd, the dollar was weaker, and gold and silver were higher, and crude oil was up. And I noticed in the Wall Street Journal in today's headlines that the Justice Department is investigating some of the big hedge funds about manipulation of the euro currency. And, of course, it's always amazing to me that it's sort of like turning the siren on before you catch the guy speeding. And the reason I say that is George Soros a week ago was telling everybody how short he was in the euro, and now he didn't have a position on. But the big factor here is that obviously somebody got caught bad. It was either the European Central Banks or the Fed or somebody, but this problems with the pig countries and Greece obviously caught somebody big time, and they didn't want something to snowball on them, and the Greek government basically agreed to a $5 billion euros cut. One commentator said it's not over, and the dollar will come back, and the Wall Street Journal article basically said the same thing. But the big factor here today is that we did see the trend change in corn today. Beans and wheat continue to stay down, but there was a lot of short covering in the marketplace. And the second big item that I thought I caught on one of the news noon commentaries is that NASS is going to have a revaluation of the yields in the March report. And they said they're not going to include the Dakotas, but Iowa is going to be one, of course, in the Midwest Corn Belt, the Big Ten, so to speak, in the resurvey. And one factor there is when we talk about Iowa is that the farmers and the merchandisers and the grain people in Iowa say that they thought that Iowa was a little bit light at 180. They have 13 million acres of corn there, and if you'd raise it a couple bushels to the acre, that's where some of the people are coming in with a bigger crop on this estimate. Hey, we'll have to wait and see just how the government changes the acreage, but that's one of the important factors in the fine-tuning this market at this time.
Yeah, it's a big factor. USDA probably trying to make a guesstimate as to what the Iowa farmer was going to bring in when they did the December numbers, and the Iowa farmer was guessing at a crop that he was looking at that was still standing at that point, a lot of corn, I would think. And if the numbers we hear even this week from Iowa, from here, are any indication, that corn that was standing in the field up to this point has been awfully good corn, probably better than what was estimated by at least the farmer.
When I do my annual or quarterly call around to some key players, I call Mankato, Minnesota, 3 foot of snow on the ground, melting slowly, but profitability, we're going to plant more corn, or as much corn as we did last year. Talk to Ottawa, the corn harvest is about over, and around the great Ottawa Valley, Illinois River Valley, and profitability corn. And when we talk to the big players in Iowa, Des Moines, and Cedar Rapids, the profitability is corn. But we do pick up that there is more beans, on a line on Route 36 from Iliopolis over to Dana. But we get the feeling that with this profitability, there's going to be a lot of corn acres, and with the CRP and wheat didn't get planted and the prevented planting last year, there's going to could be a lot of beans, too. So these are kind of things that we're looking at in the marketplace. But the market did, let's give it credit, put in a pretty strong performance today.
All right. So would you call yourself cautious then?
Well, I think the calf is still sick. Maybe we have to take him off of life support. But the market, the calf is still pretty sick, and a couple of reasons why. We have a ton of corn, wet corn, still to move. The government's full of surprises. How are they going to, I think they're going to be conservative on, the planting intentions report. They're probably going to be conservative on this. But we do get the reports that there is a bin buster crop in South America. We have a lot of wet corn to go through. And let's face it, corn's awfully cheap, but still, from a profitability point of view, corn prices aren't that much different than a year ago this time.
Now, I haven't talked to Joe Persaki, but he's scheduled to be with us on Tuesday of next week. I assume he's flying back to Washington for lockup that night before we get the Wednesday morning reports. It should be fun to hear from him within 24 hours before the report comes out. I bet he can't
say
a whole lot.
Maybe we can arrest him in Covington there and put him away so there's no report. We'll get the deputy sheriff in Vermilion County to make an arrest.
We'll have him sitting there waiting for him.
That would be quite a... mover.
Well, if you set that up, don't tell me about it. I don't know about it in advance. Hey, Paul, thanks so much.
Have a profitable day, Todd.
You too. Paul Cooley is with AD Investor Services. He's in Oakland, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. Happens each and every Wednesday afternoon.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Sarah Lukacs in Morris at 815-941-3709. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
You are listening to the Closing Mark Report. It's a production of Illinois Public Media here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find all the details about our All-Day Ag Outlook meeting. Only a few tickets left to get. I'll give you that phone number a bit later in the program to call in so you can pick those tickets up if you'd like. In the mean space, Dave Dickey, the Director of Programming here, is along now to take a look at the agricultural news for the day.
In agricultural news, EPA Administrator Lisa Jackson says it will be at least 2 years before the Environmental Protection Agency regulates stationary sources of greenhouse gases, such as carbon dioxide, that emit more than 50,000 tons a year. The figure, double what the agency proposed late last year, gives the first indication of the new standards the EPA is planning to set under new regulations due out as soon as late this month. The threshold level and timeline is crucial to thousands, if not tens of thousands, of businesses. USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack says that top U.S. and Russian officials are looking at poultry processing alternatives to chlorine in the hopes of finding a solution to a trade spat that has shut U.S. chicken out of its top export market. Vilsack says, quote, "Hopefully we'll get something done in the next couple of days." Sanderson Farms Incorporated, a major U.S. chicken processor, said last week it was trying a new rinse in some plants in hopes of winning back sales to Russia. Vilsack also talked about ethanol yesterday, saying that government test results are showing good news for those hoping the maximum ethanol blend rate in gasoline will be raised from 10 to 15%. Vilsack says, though, that testing still remains to be completed on older vehicles. A bill unveiled by the Senate Finance Committee contains a $1.5 billion disaster package for the 2009 crop year, advocated by Southern farmers, and a renewal of the $1 biodiesel tax credit. Farmers would be eligible if they suffered a crop disaster or are located in counties declared disaster areas that had at least one crop suffer a 5% yield or quality loss due to the disaster. Payments would equal up to 90% of the farmer's direct payments for 2009. Producers who did not have crop insurance would still be eligible for the disaster aid, but would be required to buy crop insurance in 2010. The bill also provides a retroactive one-year extension of several tax provisions, including the $1 biodiesel excise tax credit. The credit expired at the end of 2009, causing biodiesel facilities across the country to lay off employees or idle plants. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report. Thanks to all, by the way, who have pre-registered for our all-day Ag Outlook meeting that happens next Tuesday at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. More than 350 of you pre-registered. We're awful concerned that there won't be enough room left for very many of you, so here's the deal. We're going to offer up an 800 number and a will call for at least the next 30 folks that call in and guarantee that they'll make it that day. And if we fill that 30, we're going to close things off completely. So if you want to come, make sure you dial this number. It's 800-528-7980. That's 800-528-7980. Now up next, farmers of soft red winter wheat, mostly east of the Mississippi River, have been struggling to make that crop profitable. I'll have more on two real problems in the marketplace and, well, not exactly any good solutions. The average cash price of soft red winter wheat, also known as SRW, in the state of Illinois, declined by more than a dollar from June to September of last year. It was $3.25 in September. It's come back by more than a dollar since that low, but even at that cash price, it's still a dollar under the board. There are two prices for most commodities. The one set by the free market at an exchange like the one in Chicago, and the other which reflects actual conditions where the wheat's delivered. The difference between the two is called the basis, and it's supposed to converge to nearly zero. That hasn't been happening in the Chicago-traded soft red winter wheat pit for a while. In fact, since 2006, the basis has been very wide, like that dollar difference between the cash price and the board price already mentioned, says University of Illinois ag economist Darrell Good. And he says that's just one of two major price problems soft red winter wheat faces. Even when supplies of the commodity are low, the price of soft red winter wheat doesn't respond positively.
The supply of SRW wheat for the 2009-10 marketing year totaled only 599 million bushels. It was thought that smaller supplies would result in a stronger basis and relatively high prices for the 2009 crop. That has not happened because of weak demand. Domestic use of SRW wheat during the current year is projected to be down 41 million bushels, and exports are projected to be down 94 million bushels.
As a result, the USDA now projects year-ending stocks, as of June 1st of 2010, at 196 million bushels. That's $25 million larger than stocks at the beginning of the year. Good says the sharp decline in all wheat exports, there are several types grown in the United States, reflects a large supply of wheat in the rest of the world. Foreign wheat production was at a relatively low 20.38 billion bushels in the 07-08 marketing year, but jumped to 22.59 billion in 08-09 and 22.68 billion for this current marketing year. It puts total world exports of all classes of wheat at 4.55 billion bushels for this year. The U.S. share of the world wheat market is forecast at 18.1%. That number is down more than 11 percentage points from 2 years ago. So it sure looks like the price outlook for the crop should be very bleak. But don't jump so soon to that conclusion, says the U of I ag economist. He thinks demand for U.S.-sourced soft red winter wheat could rebound 40 to 50 million bushels.
Such a recovery in use does seem likely, particularly if the world fails to produce a third consecutive record wheat crop. July 2010 futures prices at Chicago are near the low end of the range experienced since September 2009. However, cash bids for harvest delivery in southern Illinois reflect a much stronger basis than has been experienced over the past 3 years. The potential for a very small 2010 harvest suggests some continued strengthening of that basis.
You can read Daryl Good's full analysis of the soft red winter wheat market and explore all the numbers on the FarmDoc website. The address is www.farmdoc.illinois.edu. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Support for WILL comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks by developing dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on a Wednesday afternoon. The folks at the Andersons Climbers Facility in Delphi, Indiana, are on the line with us today to take a look at the cash grain market and talk a bit about basis. Aaron Anderson is with us. Thanks for being with us today, Aaron. Tell me about basis in your area.
Climbers basis in Delphi, everything seems to be holding fairly steady here. First half of March bid at Climbers faded just a couple cents today, as we're seeing a little bit more flow of grain. Guys starting to move some more than they have, but summer and deferred bids look to be holding fairly steady.
End users had been bidding overs for soybeans. Has that continued this week?
Yeah, it has continued. Most people's bid rolled to the May here at the beginning of the week, but still seeing, you know, anywhere from 5 to 10 over in our area for processors.
And how's your ethanol plant holding on?
Still doing well. Paying, you know, small unders here, running at full capacity, and have a fairly good flow of grain coming at us every day.
And you talked about grain coming in fairly quickly now. Corn and beans both, or just corn?
Actually, we're seeing pretty good flows at Climbers for ethanol, and just from what I'm hearing about customers moving beans to processors, it seems to be moving fairly steadily right now as well.
And your bids for the day, Aaron?
For Climbers, 371 on cash corn, Delphi, 365 on cash corn, and Ibec, 357 on cash corn.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Aaron Anderson is with the Andersons in Climbers at their Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Wednesday afternoon to take a look at the cash grain market. I'll be back in 2 minutes when we'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jeff Bossert. The leaders of two Illinois universities are urging lawmakers not to make further cuts in this year's higher education budget. They warn that state government is already far behind in providing the money it's promised. The presidents of the University of Illinois and Southern Illinois University say more cuts would require major layoffs, make college more expensive, and hurt the economy. The warnings came today in a Senate hearing on the impact of across-the-board budget cuts of 10%. The Democratic majority says the hearing was one step in reviewing possible budget cuts and the impact they would have. They also acknowledge that across-the-board cuts are a favorite idea of the likely Republican candidate for governor, Senator Bill Brady. State Representative Bill Black says he expects legislation that would give Illinois school districts the option of moving to a four-day week to pass a House committee. But the Danville Republican says there may be too many fearing the bill would set a bad precedent in order for it to pass the House altogether. Black says some districts, namely rural ones, are left with few cost-cutting options with dwindling state funds. He sponsored the four-day school week bill at the request of Jamaica School Superintendent Mark Janeski, who says the move would save about $100,000 a year. But he notes some parents would have problems with longer school days 4 days a week, particularly dealing with child care. Any districts considering this option would conduct local hearings. The former chief of security at Chicago's O'Hare International Airport claims it remains vulnerable to terrorist attack, in part because its superiors repeatedly ignored his warnings about security gaps. James Maurer made those allegations about one of the world's busiest airports in a lawsuit filed today in Cook County Circuit Court. He's seeking reinstatement and more than $2 million for what the lawsuit alleges was his improper firing last year. The suit doesn't offer details about alleged security weaknesses, but it accused Chicago Aviation Commissioner Rosemarie Adelino of showing more interest in projects to expand O'Hare than in security. A man accused of ramming an unsuspecting stranger with his Jeep as she walked along a southern Illinois road, then raping and stabbing her to death, will be tried in another county. A judge has signed off on moving 30-year-old Neil Barrels' trial from Salem in Marion County to Effingham County. Prosecutors didn't challenge the request for the venue change. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a production of Illinois Public Media. Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City joins us on this Wednesday afternoon to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Hi to you, Drew.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Drew, it doesn't seem that there's a lot happening in the weather at the moment. Can you tell me about it?
Well, we continue to watch real closely on how we're going to manage to get rid of all the snow that's in the northern plains and the upper parts of the Midwest. The models keep suggesting that there's going to be a bigger meltdown across the region and a storm system coming across the region. But every time it says that, about 12 hours later, the model comes back and says, well, you know, maybe not. So who knows? The bottom line, actually, the official forecast is that we will see some warming occurring across the northern plains and the upper parts of the Midwest, and that is going to cause a little bit of an increase in melting. But it's not going to be dramatic enough to cause a serious flood event in those areas. Now, as we move a little deeper into the second week of the two-week outlook, the models are trying to bring a little more cool air southward again. So we're going to lock up a lot of that snow in the northern parts of the country for a while longer, and it's probably going to be in the second half of March and maybe into early April that we're going to be seeing that significant flood take place. In the meantime, we've got some ice jamming that's occurring down in parts of Illinois and on some of the rivers in parts of Iowa and Missouri, and that's going to cause a little localized flooding possibly, but we're not going to see a major problem come out of this particular event that's setting up at the moment. There is a storm system that will be moving through the heart of the Midwest during the early part of next week. It will be a rain event primarily. It will help to melt some of the snow in parts of Iowa and Nebraska, what's left of it in parts of northern Illinois and maybe a little bit in southern Michigan. But anyway, there will not be a serious flood event coming out of this, but there will be some standing water on some of the soil that still has frost in it.
Turn your attention now to the southern part of the United States, if you could. I saw a press release come across my desk today that the first plantings of corn have happened in Texas.
Yes, and this is the time of year that that's supposed to occur. South Texas is always first, and then usually Louisiana and areas eastward over to southern Georgia and northwestern Florida are usually right in line within a week or so of the start in Texas. We've got a little bit of a problem with it being a cool and wet bias in the Gulf Coast region right now, so fieldwork in those areas is not really moving along very well. We are going to see a 2 or 3 day period here of drier weather and some warming across that region, and that should help to set the stage for a little better environment for getting some field work accomplished. It's not going to be aggressive, mainly because we've got the storm system coming up here for next week that will be moving across those areas just like the Midwest, and will produce enough rain to set them back again for a little while. But we are working our way closer to spring, believe it or not, and hopefully if we can hold our tongues just right, we may be able to get a little bit of field work done. I fully expect the southeastern delta to run at least a couple of weeks behind in their field work, though, and the same thing may be true for lower parts of the Midwest.
About 15 seconds on South America.
Everything looks just about ideal in Argentina. That is not going to change anytime real soon. In Brazil, we've had some pretty significant rain cause some delays in harvesting from Mato Grosso into Minas Gerais, and that's going to continue for about two or three more days, and then slowly improving conditions will occur thereafter.
Thanks so much, Drew.
Have a great day.
Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City, joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Wednesday afternoon. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. Please do visit our website. The address is willag.org. I'm Todd Gleason.